The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage, from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Danny Cannell, that's Bud Elliott, that's Tom Fornelli. I'm Chip Patterson. So excited to bring back a staple of the Cover 3 Podcast. It is the 2021 quarterback draft. If you were a fan of the show last summer, you remember how it goes. We are each tasked with putting together our quarterback room. We're going to have four rounds, and the pool of available players is all from 2021 rosters. Now, do you just want to load up to try to have the best possible quarterback room for this year? Are you just going to say, forget any kind of depth, forget any kind of continuity, I'll just hit the transfer portal the next season? That's up to you. Are you going all young? Are you just going to try to get in, the true freshmen that you think not only are going to have an impact this season, but also moving forward? It is very much a reflection of our styles, tastes, and some of our favorite quarterbacks across of all of college football. Bud, do you feel, we've done some drafting. We've done some all-time drafting. We've done the Oklahoma drill draft. We'll do the 2021 Oklahoma drill draft in a little bit. But are you feeling good about draft season here on the Cover 3 Podcast?
You know, it's kind of my maiden voyage as far as the positional draft stuff. So I feel okay, but look, Danny played QB, and Tom and you have done this before, so I kind of feel like I'm the underdog in this one.
All right, the draft season has started. We will start with the quarterbacks. Hit it! All right, the first pick here in the 2021 Cover 3 quarterback draft, it goes to Tom Fornelli. So Tom, as you are on the clock, who will you be taking in the first pick?
Losing all those games finally pays off. You know, it's different this year because I feel like last year there were the obvious, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields after that. So, I feel like this year going into the season, there is no clear-cut top guy. So I did kind of have a little trouble putting my board together because I do feel like there's not much separation between a lot of the guys that I think are in consideration for not even just the first pick, but, the first round. But in the end, I'm somebody who likes to draft for the now and for the future. So I'm taking care of a little bit of both of that here with my first pick. I'm taking DJ Uiagalelei, because that way he could start for me next year, this year. And then I'll have somebody in the pipeline that is the plan to replace him a few years from now after he leaves after his third season and goes out of the NFL. So I'm taking DJU to start this off.
Sophomore out of Clemson, a lot of eligibility left, as you mentioned. And I will say number one on my board. Tough to see him go. Is he holding similar spots for y'all?
Yeah, I'm mad because I got the number two pick, and I really wanted DJ. So I thought you were going to go in a different direction because I do think there is an obvious choice. Should we break down DJ a little, or you want me to go number two? Because
no, let's break down DJ. What'd you like about him? What was when you wanted to try to make that play? Was it the youth and the talent that you were putting together?
I think it's a combination of upside potential. I think it's combination of intangibles. I think it's, you've already seen him excel on the biggest stage. Like, you've got a pretty good body of work, because you could have taken, and maybe somebody will here pretty soon, taken one of the Ohio State quarterbacks. If it's JT Shroud, whoever it is, you still haven't seen much of a body of work. At least we've seen DJ in pressure pack situations, and we've seen him excel in those. So like, if there is such a thing as a sure thing, I think this would probably be it. Same thing with Bryce Young. Like, expected to be great, but we haven't seen much of it yet. We've seen DJ do it already.
The thing that stands out to me about DJ Uiagalelei is the versatility, and that if you were a college football coach, you could put him in so many different kinds of offenses and so many different kinds of attacks, and I truly believe that he would be successful at any of them. I mean, do you need him to be like that bowling ball quarterback running the ball? Guess what? He's built to be able to do that. Oh, do you need him to throw for 400 yards because the line of scrimmage is all jammed up? He can do that too. I think that versatility is so attractive in terms of a quarterback prospect.
Yeah, and part of it too, like if we go back to last week's mailbag when we were trying to figure out players that we'd want to take, you know, to clone and make a whole team with, and you're trying to sit there and think of like quarterbacks who like, well, who can I put on the line? DJ's like 6'4", 250. This is a very large man. So he's not only very talented, and like Danny said, we've seen him in pressure situations. We saw him in that Notre Dame game. We already have an idea of what he has as far as being on the field. But like at the end of games, like when the defense is tired and I'm trying to, you know, finish him off, I've got a 6'4", 250-pound quarterback who I could just ram into them to finish them off and end the game.
And I don't have a whole lot more to add. He's a really special athlete and awesome quarterback. Man, we don't program this show for, you know, to basically produce VOD segments, but that was a really good one. Like that, I'm clipping that in my head already.
Good job. All right, Danny, number two.
All right, for my number two pick. Now this is where I wanted Tom, because I have to take this quarterback. I'm going to go Spencer Rattler out of Oklahoma. I got to start this process where I almost can't watch QB1 anymore, the series on Netflix, because I start becoming like, there's likes, there's dislikes. You get to know some of their personalities, which can be a good or a bad thing. Like Jake Fromm, fell in love with him and his family. What a great young man. You know, like, yes, sir, no, sir. And then you've got Spencer Rattler out there talking trash with his backup and just abusing some of his teammates verbally, which is fun. Like, I get it. But man, he came across as unlikable, like a punk sort of. But then that was years ago. And all of us were punks to some extent in high school. You think you have all the answers. Here's the advantage of getting Spencer Rattler, which I think you do run a risk with DJ. We've already seen sort of the freshman mistakes and, you know, as the first year starter mistakes. We saw him late game situation throw a couple interceptions against Kansas State. We saw him struggle against Iowa State, their two losses early. Now that you've got those out of your system, and once he got benched at halftime versus Texas, he never looked back. And all of a sudden he played close to flawless. He does have an incredibly insane skill set of talent to work with. He's going to be in a system that has every single year just churned out incredible stats. He's going to be there at the end of the year. So I think you have to take Spencer Rattler, which I would have thought for all these reasons would have been why he should have been the slam dunk number one. Only thing I'm concerned about is a little bit of that punkiness. Like you got to like your overall number one overall pick. It's going to be a work in progress for me to get all on board with the Spencer Rattler attitude. See,
I don't mind a little punkiness out of my QB. I actually like that. But no, I took DJ over Spencer just because the whole specimen, I think that like I'm higher on DJ. I know that I get on the whole Caleb Williams things on this show, and I think that Caleb Williams is better than Spencer Rattler, at least will be. But it's not that I don't like Spencer Rattler. I think he's very talented, and I think he's a very good fit in that Oklahoma offense. There's just like some kind of presence from him missing for me when I watch. There's just some kind of intangible that I just can't really put my finger on that's not there, which is why I didn't take him over DJ, because I feel like DJ definitely has that. But going back to your QB1 talk, that is why Tate Martell never had a chance with me. Just watching him on that show, I was like, oh God, I'm never going to root for this kid.
He was the worst by far.
I think if you're taking Rattler, you're betting on the last half of the season continuing. Like the first half of the season, they did have some drops, which kind of plagued him. But ultimately, he was not the best. If you look full season, Who has a higher adjusted yards per attempt against Power 5 teams? Rattler, Duggan, or Connor Bazelak, the Missouri kid?
Connor.
Trick question. They're all the same. 6.5. and they're outside the top 20 in the country for P5 QBs. So, like, they're not top third among Power 5 QBs in that stat, which is a stat I like to use because it kind of isolates for, you know, passing downs and whatnot. But, like, the second half of the year, he killed it. So, I like the pick.
It makes me laugh and feels very appropriate for the time with, you know, reality television and sports entertainment continue to blend, that the reality television producers are impacting our actual sports analysis of high-level college quarterbacks. Based on the storylines that are presented to us on this Netflix show, we are now entering with all of these expectations. And hey, that is not actually recent because, I mean, after you watched like Sebastian Telfair, right? When you're coming up, what was it? Through the Fire, I think was the documentary of him and his recruitment. He steps into the league and I was like, man, you can't tell me Sebastian Telfair is not the man. Like, you can't tell me he's not going to take the NBA over right now. All reality television slash, you know, documentarians. All right. I'm up next. Pick number 3. He was a member of CPU last year. I'm not going to overthink this. He's put together the best. If we were only taking the production that you've put together in college football so far, no one's got a better resume than Sam Howell.
Homer pick.
He's got more yards. He's got more touchdowns. The accuracy is better. If you were going to look at the whole body of work, his freshman and sophomore seasons, full seasons, not the like JT Daniels snippet, or like we're going to take this piece of Spencer Rattler, Homer pick for sure. But I'm not going to try to outthink myself and avoid the Homer criticism and leave someone on the board with such a surefire proven commodity like Sam Howell.
Now, he was 2 on my board. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. Right. He was number 1 on my, like, for this year board.
All right, bud, you got 2 picks. You're at the turn. Pick number 4, round 1, pick number 1, round 2.
I didn't want to go this way, but the way you guys set it up, I figured it might happen. So you can't take anybody who's currently a recruit, right?
Good.
Because they're not on a roster yet.
Yeah, they have to be on the roster. Yeah.
All right. So we'll have to wait till next year to take Quinn. For me, it's easy. I'm going to go Bryce Young. I think he'll step in there and absolutely kill it at Alabama. And then maybe less obvious, but I think C.J. Stroud has the goods and will be the guy at Ohio State. And I'm locking in 2 years of production for at least – for each of my top 2 picks. I think they'll both put up, you know, Heisman worthy numbers immediately this year. And they're both really, really talented guys. For those of y'all who haven't seen them yet, they're the goods, I think.
One of them is so transferring.
Wait, what? Oh, at Bud from Bud's quarterback room. 2 guys from the same recruiting class. And by the way, from that recruiting class, was it all top 3 quarterbacks from the 2020 recruiting class have been taken in the first 5 picks of this 2021 quarterback draft. I tell you what, we have seen enough of Tanner Morgan and Sean Clifford, and no one wants a piece of that. All right, we're moving on. We are diving younger and younger every single year.
Hold on. Did I say JT Stroud earlier? Yeah. CJ Stroud. If I do that, we have to have an alarm sound like a CTE moment or something. When I screw up the names. In my defense, they are very similar.
They're similar names.
Very similar.
Those are similar names.
I don't want to do that for a CTE moment. That feels a little sad.
No, just call me out on that.
Okay. Hey, I can't call you out on that because between like when you catch me in the college football, college basketball, and golf crossover, I'm mixing up names all the time. Like it is very relatable.
Was it Tom's tweet about the leaderboard? Was it
yes.
This weekend or last weekend was like, are these PGA, is this a PGA Tour leaderboard or is this a Georgia quarterback depth chart? It was very hard to tell the difference.
Hudson Swafford.
That is the Georgia quarterback. You can't convince me he's not.
All right. I will not be taking the Georgia quarterback because I am trying to build out something with a little bit of balance, and I expect Sam Howell will be out of the room, which is why I am taking Tom Fornelli's pick for the best quarterback in the Oklahoma Sooners quarterback room with the 2nd pick of the 2nd round. I will be taking Oklahoma freshman quarterback Caleb Williams.
That's a great pick, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Building for the future.
Remember this QB draft right now, like a few years from now in the NFL draft, when there's like five quarterbacks taken in the top 10 again, and everybody's like, is this a generational QB class? It's like, no, it just matches what the quarterback rankings were that year.
Yeah, exactly. How, and I was looking, so I was going through old recruiting classes, and you mentioned Quinn, which is Quinn Ewers, is, but have you gotten a chance to see Quinn? Because it seems like the top of the 24/7 sports and it's in the composite rankings, I mean, we haven't seen a huge grouping or like that one superstar right out the top in the last two or three recruiting classes, but Quinn's number one, right?
Yeah. Quinn Ewers, I think, is on that Trevor Lawrence type level where it was just, hey, physically, he's got everything you want. Mobile, really accurate, can throw from a lot of different arm angles. Production-wise, has dominated the best levels of Texas high school football for, you know, for a long time. Makeup, everybody seems to rave about the kid. There's just nothing that I don't like about it, right?
What about the hair?
I mean, well, the hair is better than Trevor. Well, okay, it depends. Trevor's hair, I think, has more staying power. Quinn's kind of like faux hawk mullet thing it's really pretty impressive that he pulls it off. I just don't know, like, by the time he gets to college, will that still be in style?
I don't know. See, that's my major concern with Quinn is the hair, because, you know, it's that's a defensive end linebacker kind of haircut. I don't know if I want my quarterback having that haircut.
And that's
the last mullet quarterback who you thought really killed it in college. Because I got I think two in mind, and they both played for one school.
Did Grayson
South Carolina?
Yeah, South Carolina. Steve Tannehill.
Steve Tannehill.
Yeah.
For younger listeners, go back and find pics of Steve Tannehill. And then I think, didn't Steven Garcia have a kind of a pseudo mullet for a little bit?
He just had a flow. It was a
mullet. He just had.
He definitely had some flow. Yeah.
And that is that natural blonde, or is he dying that for Quinn Ewers?
That I'm not sure. I'll have to get to the roots of that situation.
I was just going to say the examinations haven't been that thorough, Jim.
All right, Danny, pick number three here in round number two.
I've got a couple group of five guys I wanted to give some love to. I'm trying to decide what's the best way to stack up my roster. I'll go, they're both upperclassmen, I'm going to have some battle here going on for playing time. I'm going to go with Carson Strong out of Nevada. The dude's got an absolute cannon. I think there's been, I don't even want to mention my other quarterback who I was going to go with because I don't want to go with him, but I think this is the closest thing to a Josh Allen type of guy. He's 6'4", he's 220, he's got a cannon. It comes off his arm really, really nice. 27 touchdowns last year, only 4 interceptions, 70% completion percentage. There were a lot more concerns about Josh Allen's accuracy when he was coming out. Plays a little bit more quarterback-friendly system, but I'll go with Carson Strong out of Nevada.
I'm legit angry at you about that pick.
Was that going to be?
I thought I was going to be able to sneak him in. Like, I didn't think he was going to be on anybody's board. I was like, all right, I could probably save him to later and get him. And he'll be like my veteran backup kind of, you know, my secret weapon in case something goes wrong with DJU. Man. Okay. So, all right. I gotta adjust my strategy here.
There you go.
So this was on everybody's board, right?
Carson Strong.
Yeah.
He was. So I came across this debate. Danny, you've, I guess, already declared your allegiances here, but Carson Strong versus Hank Bachmeyer, that's the battle for best quarterback in the Mountain West.
Oh, yeah.
Jake Haener from Fresno State.
I wasn't
maybe
thinking
has
of Bachmeyer as my other quarterback.
I don't think it's much of a battle, honestly.
You think Carson Strong is like.
I think Strong's very good.
Okay. He's already projected as like a top 15 pick. Like he's got the goods.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Settled. All right, Tom, you've got the fourth pick of round number two and the first pick of round number three.
Damn it. All right. Well, it doesn't change my process too much for my second and third round picks. I'm going to have to reevaluate for my fourth round. For my second pick, I'm going to take a youngster we have not seen. I don't think this is probably the Georgia QB most people thought would be the first one drafted here, but I'm going to take Brock Vandegrift with my second pick. Let him spend a year or two learning under DJU, getting better, getting ready, and then his junior season. Hopefully he's in a position to ball out and become a top 10 pick in the NFL. And then I think Brock's going to need somebody pushing him. Brock's going to need somebody in that quarterback room and on that practice field that's making him work a little harder. And that's why with my third pick, I'm taking taking a Chicago boy, taking J.J. McCarthy, University of Michigan.
Do you think J.J. McCarthy ends up starting this year? Not in your room, but for the Michigan room.
I think it's certainly possible. Mm. I don't know if it'll be early in the season, but I think that at some point there's a pretty decent chance that J.J. McCarthy will be starting games for the Michigan Wolverines in 2021.
Vandegrift also has good hair.
He does.
Yeah. You know, he has a pretty good job of building that out. Bud, would you slot those in Vandegrift versus McCarthy if you were power rating them against each other? Would you put Brock ahead of J.J.? Not in terms of like, will you see them play, but just as a prospect.
Yeah, I don't know that either of them really pop as like a ton better than the other, to be honest. I mean, the caveat here is I didn't get to see them in person before mm-hmm. their senior year because of the whole COVID shutdown thing. We didn't have a whole lot of like Elite 11 stuff going on that we were able to go to. But like they're really not that dissimilar, right? Both are like 6'2.5", 6'3". You know, I mean, JJ played better competition being at IMG, obviously, for senior year, but they're pretty similar to me, man.
I will say, though, I do think, because, you know, just based, like you said, JJ played at IMG for his senior season, but he grew up in Illinois, played at LaGrange in suburban Chicago. I would think that Brock, even if it's not the higher level of Georgia high schools, I would think that growing up in that region and playing in that region is probably a little more tested. Just because I know Illinois high school football, it's not quite the same level as like Georgia. That's one of the reasons he transferred to IMG.
Yeah, for sure. That, and we knew IMG was going to play.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Good call. All right, Danny, third round, second pick of the third round, your third pick for your quarterback room.
All right, so I need some youth if I'm going to stack up some classes here, but I don't like going super young. I like seeing somebody that's at least completed some passes. I'm going to go with Max Johnson at LSU, 6'5", lefty, saved the season in Gainesville with a 3-touchdown performance. Then he had 435 yards against Ole Miss, another 3 touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns, 1 interception on the year. Hasn't even locked up the starting job yet. Miles Brennan very much in that competition, but I'm banking on him to win the job, playing with all the talent. And like Bud was saying, hey, if LSU puts it together, maybe you could see that. I'm not going to go that far. This is more of a play for the future, but I'm going to take Max Johnson as my third string young developmental project at quarterback.
I had him on my list as well. Man, I feel like our lists are all really similar here, which is interesting because we're building for the future, but also, you know, trying to win now.
Mm-hmm. I did not have him on my list. Not on my big board, at least.
Are you a Miles Brennan guy?
No, I don't have any strong confidence in the LSU quarterback room. I need to see more before I'm, especially in a draft when I know that I need to be able to like stand by my pick. I don't have, that's an incomplete grade for me on both of those quarterbacks before I feel like picking them in a situation like this. It is my pick. And that's why I guess this sounds, especially after saying that, to pick someone with such a small sample size might be a little bit hypocritical, but I loved what I saw from Graham Mertz, and that's somebody who's going to have some years of eligibility left. I think he's a very dynamic player, and it's not just seeing him as a Wisconsin quarterback. I think he's a very, very good quarterback, got a lot of tools, and like the conversation with DJU, I think he's capable of working in a lot of different systems. So we've got a junior, Sam Howell, we've got a freshman in Caleb Williams. Now I'll be welcoming in, I believe, the best sophomore available left on my board. That is Graham Mertz from Wisconsin.
So I like Graham Mertz a lot, physical talent wise. I mean, we had him at the Army All-American Bowl, and I mean, he was on par or better with any of those quarterbacks there as far as how he moved around, how he threw it, etc. If you take Graham Mertz there, Chip, I'm just going to ask you, you're just willing to throw out the actual production from last year, small sample, COVID, all the shutdown stuff. And I pulled some numbers this morning, and that same stat I cited earlier, the adjusted yards per attempt on passing downs mm-hmm. against Power Five, he's third from the bottom.
Ooh.
4.0. So like Mertz last year, when teams knew he was going to throw, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the country. Like Chase Bryce, of Duke and Noah Verdell of Rutgers were the only two who were worse.
Chase Bryce might have had better passing targets than Graham Mertz had.
I agree, especially because he had a lot of guys out for Wisconsin for long stretches. How many games did he play? Like
six or seven.
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, I would have to take that is a very concerning stat, but I would have to take into consideration the context of the passing targets that he had on Wisconsin's roster on Saturdays. Like who was not in protocol, who was showing up, and then just the overall starting point of where that Wisconsin wide receiver room was for much of the year. I like what I see. I'll stand by it. All right, Bud, back to you. You've got final pick of the third round, first pick of the fourth round.
All right, so I got a couple guys here, including one that I've bet against already, against Tom. But I'm going to go ahead and do it because I think his production will be off the charts this year, and I'm drafting for college football, not for the NFL. Although he may be good in the NFL, who knows? Give me Malik Willis of Liberty. I think physical tools-wise to get him into the third round is really nice. I think he makes good decisions. The arm is big.
He's a senior. It's like you've already gone young, so now you're coming in to get somebody who can be plug and play. I respect it.
I went super young, and with Bryce Young, literally, I went young. So, I think Willis is a good pick here, and we'll see. Like maybe the young guys aren't quite ready. Maybe they stumble. They have a dude who is being, mocked in the first round already. That's not a bad one, I think.
All right. So now get it started. Round out your room. First pick of the fourth round.
So there's a couple guys here I like. I'm going to go with another older QB, and it came down to three who I've all seen in person and I like a lot. But go ahead and give me Matt Corral. I know we can talk now. Granted, I mean we could talk about how much this is schemed open for him and Lane Kiffin's wackiness and what they do is maybe not always translatable to the NFL. Whatever. The guy puts up huge numbers in college, and he actually makes a lot of good plays out of the pocket, except when he's playing Arkansas. And I think he's not a bad pick for round four. There was some drop-off here, though, so I got a little older guys here in my final two.
Okay, so I'm just not going to let it fall because Willis right there, Matt Corral right there. Like, I've got a lot of these names, but there's one above that on my big board that it just – he's got to be on everyone's big board. Because he's just sliding. And we're all the way here in the fourth round. And if this podcast, which is an artist formerly known as a Georgia podcast, is going to let the man who's going to lead the Dogs to an SEC championship not get picked in the quarterback draft, I'm not standing for it. Who's that coming on down the track? It's JT Daniels. Let's go round out the quarterback room with another junior. The other name, I'll be curious to see the other name that is sort of standing out here in the middle of my top tier on the big top tier of the big board. There's one name left. JT Daniels is the other. I'll be curious to see if it gets taken here in the next two picks, the final two picks of the Cover 3 quarterback draft. Danny.
I'm glad you took JT Daniels. I saw him sitting there. It's like this elephant in the room. And I was like, but I don't know if I want to pull the trigger on him just yet. So I'm glad you did. So that's kind of off. It's like a big sigh of relief. I'll go because I think there are a couple different ways you could go, including I don't even want to give any clues, but I'm going to go with Keaton Slovis out of USC. You've seen the potential of what he could do. If you go back to 2019, you pull it all together. One of the reasons JT Daniels at Georgia, 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year. I'm a little bit concerned about the offensive line, but another year in the system, another year removed from COVID, I think the upside is there to where he could be one of the guys where you see a massive jump in improvement. Somebody from the Pac-12 has to step up and have a good year. So I'm going to say, why not Keaton Slovis?
All right. So that rounds out Danny's and Tom. Bring this home.
See, this is where I was going to be taking Carson Strong until Danny messed it up because I wanted to go DJU number one. Then I wanted to go two kids at two and three. And then I wanted to get like a veteran presence in there in case DJU gets banged up or just, somebody, a mentor kind of player who could also step in a pinch if I need him. That was going to be Strong. That was going to be Graham Mertz. That was going to be JT Daniels. That was going to be Keaton Slovis. These were all names that I was considering. But there is one name that I was considering that's still on my board that I'm happy to get. with the last pick of the draft. And you know what? Maybe he wants to leave his current situation to come to Fernelli Tech, because we'll probably still be eligible for postseason play here soon. I am taking Jaden Daniels from Arizona State.
Ooh, there we go. Bringing it home with the Arizona State quarterback. All right, that's it. Four rounds. The Cover 3 quarterback draft is done. And coming up on the other side, it's time to discuss what our big boards looked like, whom the best players that did not get drafted, draft grades for all of our squads, and analysis, and more next. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So here are the squads, the quarterback rooms. Tom has DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, Brock Vandegrift from Georgia, JJ McCarthy from Michigan, and Jaden Daniels from Arizona State. Danny, Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma, Carson Strong from Nevada, Max Johnson from LSU, Keaton Slovis from USC. Chip has Sam Howell from North Carolina, Caleb Williams from Oklahoma, Graham Mertz from Wisconsin, JT Daniels from Georgia, and Bud has Bryce Young from Alabama, CJ Stroud from Ohio State, Malik Willis from Liberty, and Matt Corral from Ole Miss. The name that I was referencing right there in the fourth round was Dylan Gabriel. Was Dylan Gabriel holding a high spot for y'all? Because I had him on my big board just like it was. I knew I was going to pull Caleb Williams early. That was kind of a plan for the draft. But Dylan Gabriel was right there with Malik Willis and Matt Corral as this group of upperclassmen that I really like, that I would put ahead of some of these other quarterbacks that were taken. Just to get the conversation started, is Dylan Gabriel a product of a system, or do you think that he is that kind of production stands by a lot of talent that should be considered, you know, valuable, you know, rated highly, ranked highly?
Dylan Gabriel was on my board, but the one reason that kind of eliminated him, and it might be considered a stupid reason, but it's my reason, because I got DJU early. So obviously I'm going into this year with him as my starter. And like I said, I wanted two young kind of incoming freshman guys to have for the future to build. And then I wanted another veteran. Dylan Gabriel was in the conversation for that veteran. But the problem for me is, I don't plan on him being my starter. He's only going to be playing in case DJU gets hurt. And I didn't want my backup QB to be a lefty with my starters or all right.
What?
Because the ball spins differently. And you see it all happen all the time. Receivers have to adjust to left-handed quarterbacks, and they drop more passes because of it. So I didn't want a lefty coming in the third quarter after DJU gets banged up, and I have to change up a whole lot of my offense because now I've got a quarterback who's better going to the left than he is going to the right.
My brain exploded. That is such great detail for the quarterback draft. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you. That was really the reason? You thought of this before the show?
No, I thought of it during the show, and I was trying to figure out who my last pick was going to be, and I was breaking it down, and names were getting plucked off the list because Dylan was still on there at the end.
I think Dylan Gabriel actually has quite a bit of talent. The issue is I do think he's also a product of that system. Mm. Everybody who plays in that system puts up numbers, and you know whether they're good or not, it's can sometimes be difficult to tell. And UCF usually has a talent and speed advantage as well over pretty much everybody they play. Especially in the AAC, which is a good league, but not, you know, like defensively, they don't put out a whole lot of guys into the pros. Other guys that I thought, what about Derek King? He was somebody I think if you didn't have the ACL tear would definitely be on my board higher. And I think he'll play this year. I just don't know how effective he'll be.
That is exactly why he was not in consideration for me.
Mackenzie Milton, Derek King, Brock Purdy, Spencer Sanders, Tanner Morgan are not even on the big board. They were on a separate list of like, I'm done. I think you're a good quarterback. You are worthy of being a starting quarterback here in college football. But I kind of feel like I feel like I've seen everything. I've seen all the tricks. I've heard all the songs. Would love to be proven wrong. Derek King's probably the best of that group. But I wanted to talk about him. I was curious to see if anyone was going to draft him, but I wasn't really drawn to him.
Is Tanner Morgan good? Like, I'm not really. I'm not sure on this. He had two like legit NFL dudes he was throwing the ball to on the outside, and a ton of, you know, like they ran the ball almost all the time. So every time they threw, it was kind of a surprise. I'm not sold. I think he may be going pro in something other than sports.
I thought 2 years ago that he was very accurate and had good touch on his ball down the field. I thought last year he was wildly inaccurate. So I don't know. I'm guessing he's somewhere in between those two.
Sam Heward was another freshman that I was very intrigued about. And when I was like looking at true freshmen, I had JJ McCarthy on my list as well. Brock Vandegrift. When I took it to the sophomores, you mentioned like Connor Bazelak being grouped in a non-flattering way. Mm-hmm. If things got real thin, I might have taken Connor Bazelak. He was on the list. You know, I mentioned that other list of like quarterbacks that I acknowledge are good, but that I wasn't actually looking to draft. But you know, if all of a sudden all the players that I had selected on there, if those were y'all's picks, then we could have gotten to a Connor Bazelak or a Levi Lewis here at the in the back half of the big board.
And you know, Connor didn't make my final board at the end, but he was definitely a name that, as I was doing the research for this last night and this morning, he was somebody that was, you know, definitely orbiting the draft board.
Some guys that I actually had like over Purdy and Morgan back before Chip said there's gonna be four rounds, and I ended up chopping the board off quite a bit. Max Duggan,
yeah,
for me, I think has a lot of upside. Devin Leary. You know, not a guy I can pick in a top four round draft, but last year when he played, he was really good, and I've seen him in person, like the arm talent's there. And somebody who got a lot better last year, by the way, and you can hear our episode with Bruin Report Online coming up for UCLA. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, kind of sneakily last year, was pretty damn good. Those are three guys on my list who kind of stood out, who I feel like are not system guys. You know, like Sam Hartman, good numbers at Wake last year. Still think he's kind of a system dude.
Do you remember what happened with Sam Hartman and the and interceptions last season?
I know he only threw four of them in like obvious passing situations.
I think that all of them were in the bowl game against Wisconsin. So he had like an ACC record interception-free streak going, and then he turned into a pumpkin. He just like got all of the interceptions from the season. All came into the bowl game, and I was shook. He looked shook. I mean, it was sad.
I think he probably set a record for like most consecutive interceptions. Yeah. At that point.
This long interception-free streak, then he throws one, and he's like, okay, well, you know what? Now let's just go ahead and go all the way with this, you know? Like, I'm giving up chocolate. I'm giving up chocolate for the month, and then all of a sudden, like on the 30th, you're like, well, here we go. We're crushing candy bars. Let's do it.
And I think like there's a lot of names left to discuss that weren't taken. And I don't even think we're really super close to being drafted, because the format for the way we do this is like, if we were just doing, all right, let's draft the best 2021 quarterbacks. A lot of guys that most of us didn't even consider today or consider all that hard would have probably gone in that draft. It's just when you're doing this from like the roster construction kind of standpoint, where you want a guy right away for like at least this year, maybe the next couple of years, and then you want guys behind them. A lot of really good players who are really good right now are going to get left out and aren't even really going to get heavy consideration.
I think if you're really good, you get consideration. Really, really good. Like a good quarterback, but you know.
There, to me, in the 2021, and maybe, I mean, it'll probably change as the season plays out, but there isn't like last year there was a very obvious tier one, like top tier of quarterbacks in college. You knew who they were. This year, I think there's still an obvious tier one. It's just, I don't think the gap between the top tier and the next tier is as significant as it was last year. I think that there's a lot of a lot of wiggle room for a lot of these guys in 2021 to move from one tier to the other.
I think that some of that has to do with the inexperience of the top tier.
Yeah, exactly. So it's there's a little more wild card situation there. So a lot of more kind of trusty veteran guys, I guess you could say, like juniors and seniors that might not have that highest ceiling of talent, but you kind of already know what you're getting. I think that if we're just drafting like the top 16 QBs in college, those guys are getting taken. When we're drafting it this way and we have to consider upside instead of already having the production, a lot of those guys are getting left out.
Michael Penix would go higher in the just draft the top quarterbacks of the class than he would in this format.
Yeah, like Michael Penix would have been considered if we were just drafting top quarterbacks. Michael Penix was not even on my board or close to my board for this draft.
Yeah, I would have had him like if we did a 10-round draft.
Would Anthony Brown have made either of y'all's board even if we had done a 10-round draft? I don't know if he would. And I think that's interesting when we're talking about Oregon and like we're talking about Oregon being a Pac-12 champion. We're talking about Oregon making it to the college football playoff. I think Anthony Brown is a very good and worthy of being a starter. I do not think he's unfit to be a starter in a Power 5 conference, but I did not have him on my board. And you could talk me into Phil Jurkovec if you were just trying to draft over Anthony Brown.
I have a lot of faith in Joe Moorhead, so I can't totally discount Anthony Brown. But based on production and just what I've seen of him, you know, watching a lot of ACC ball, he's not somebody that I would have had on my list early on.
The names that, again, like I just gathered a ton of quarterback names and there was the list that I knew I wasn't going to draft, but I was curious because I wanted to bring it up because I'm sure that if you're listening at home, you probably weren't expecting as a fan of Auburn, Nebraska, or Penn State to hear your quarterback taken. But somebody like a Bo Nix, an Adrian Martinez, a Sean Clifford, like, is there, to Tom's point, with so much wiggle room between the tiers, is there a future, is there a possibility here this season that we see either of those quarterbacks take a big leap and reach another level? If so, which of those three do you think stands out as the one that you would invest in for that potential?
Which three?
It's Bo Nix, Adrian Martinez, Sean Clifford.
God.
Auburn, Nebraska, and Penn State. Quarterbacks that we have gotten to know intimately. Martinez?
By far, because the level of athleticism on defense in the Big Ten West, I don't think measures up for the most part. You know, I mean, think about the teams you get to play.
Yeah.
But Penn State plays better competition. Auburn's maybe, certainly going to play a lot better competition.
Maybe I've seen too much of Adrian Martinez.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Adrian Martinez is going to have that leap. I think it is possible that in terms of the way that their game has changed, I'm probably more interested in seeing if Clifford can take the leap than Nix or Martinez, just because they've had so much shifting offensively, both in terms of the coordinators and the personnel.
I don't know if this is the right answer, but I do think I'm most interested in Bo Nix with a Brian Harsin and a more of a pro stylish kind of offense than what Bo Nix was doing in the Auburn under Gus Malzahn offense. I'm interested. Doesn't mean I'm confident that we're going to see a huge step forward, but I'm going to be paying attention.
Do you know who I had on my draft board way too high? And I didn't even take it just because it kept making me laugh every time I scanned by it. But it's the guy who went 15 for 15 in the spring game, Utah quarterback Charlie Brewer. I mean, I think Charlie Brewer's going to be really good this year. But, you know, he's a senior, and for the purposes of this exercise, he did not end up getting picked. But I had him – I had Charlie Brewer there with like Max Duggan, Phil Jurkovec, Connor Bazelak, just Power 5 starting quarterbacks that I'm interested in, you know, a little bit bullish on. Did not think the draft was going to go to a point where I was going to be drafting them, but I found myself going through this exercise, pulling some of those names and being like, let's keep close tabs on them because I think there's a chance that what we've seen that's good can be replicated this season.
Is there anybody on your draft board, on your actual draft board, not like the, hey, if we had 20 rounds, but like on the draft board you prep for today's 4-round draft, is there anybody on there who we have not mentioned yet on this show?
Did we mention Kyle McCord? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really the only person that Chip mentioned Sam Huard, who, by the way, I was also in consideration with Vandegrift McCarthy, but another dumb reason. He played high school in Washington. I don't know if
get out of here. hating on Illinois, hating on Washington.
This is the thing. Like, I haven't seen the kid play. So it's like I have to go on these kind of things that you really, you know, when you're trying to like split hairs between these guys, my initial thought was he's from Washington. I don't know about the level of high school football there. He's got a famous name. Maybe that helps with the, you know, like the rating kind of.
And the last guy to come out of Washington rated that high was kind of a flop.
Yeah.
Jacob Eason.
Uh-huh. So it's like that kind of, and it's not fair and it's not right, but I can't sit here and deny that that didn't push him down the board a little bit.
He says, Tom Fornelli says, Washington high school football is soft. Prove me I'm wrong. I also talk too much. So I've mentioned all the names that were on my like actual draft board. The ones that went undrafted from the board were Gabriel, Brewer, Huard, Bazalack, McCarthy, Lewis, Dracovic, Duggan.
The one on my board that hasn't been brought up yet, Grayson McCall.
Yeah, I know.
At Coastal. Now, I wasn't really going to pick him unless I just totally ran out of guys because that's a unique system. We've only seen him for 1 year. Coastal played some good teams, but also some not very good teams. But I think he's actually a pretty damn good QB who would be good in other systems as well. So he made my board, and that's the last guy we haven't brought up.
Ben Kercheval. Go ahead.
The weird thing about Grayson McCall is like when you watch him play, because he's 6'3", he's, 200 pounds. He does not look 6'3", 200 pounds. For some reason, when I watch Grayson McCall play, I feel like I'm watching a 5'11 QB. But then it's like when you see him standing, it's like, oh, no, wait, actually, he's huge.
Right. I don't know where I'm at on McCall. It's interesting you bring him up, Bud, because Ben Kercheval for CBS Sports was really like, making a strong argument. We were having a conversation about group of five quarterbacks and sort of like which ones. I was over here in a Dylan Gabriel camp. He's like, man, I think Grayson McCall is a really, really good quarterback that deserves to be mentioned there with Malik Willis, with Desmond Ridder as like one of the top quarterbacks, or Carson Strong too, as the top quarterbacks there at the group of five level. So I think that the hesitation is right where you say like, it's 1 year. Let's see if they can come back. Everyone's going to have tape on that system. And we'll see if they can come up with some answers. In terms of the squads themselves, what do y'all we all love our own rosters and our own draft class. Any thoughts about how these different rooms stack up against each other?
Chip, I don't think you got enough youth.
Caleb Williams isn't enough.
I mean, Caleb Williams will probably be starting for you next year. And then for the next couple of years after that, but I don't like to see you take another, Sam Huard type of player.
Like instead of JT Daniels
Of Mertz.
Oh, cause he's sophomore. Mm-hmm. Max Johnson and Keaton Slovis were not on my, I want list at all. Like, it is really, really easy since Danny had to bail early for me to just take shots at his draft class. But Spencer Rattler and Carson Strong, sure. But Max Johnson, that's got to be like old Florida State quarterback, like fraternity love, right? Like Max's dad has been on the phone with Danny the same way that McCaffrey's dad has been on the phone with Mike Bloomgren and been like, I tell you, he's the one. Listen, you got to take him. No, I'm incomplete, as I said earlier, Max Johnson. And Keaton Slovis, I hope he plays well, but I wouldn't be picking him.
See, I don't even love my own board because, again, Danny threw mine for a loop when he took Carson Strong because I thought it was going to be DJU, two kids, and then Carson Strong to finish it out. And now I'm just disappointed with my own team.
Well, you've got DJU and Jaden Daniels, so
at least I'm showing up to the facility on Monday morning mad at these guys for nothing that they did. Jaden, you're not Carson Strong. Run a lap.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
I mean, I think if you don't love your team, do we have a spreadsheet where we can see everybody else's team lined up, or were you guys writing this down as we went? Because I only kept track of my own and then crossed off the list.
Oh, yeah, I shared it.
Is it in the chat?
No, it should check your, I guess it would have been through the email.
Oh, on email. Okay, gotcha. Oh, well, yeah, I'm pulling this up live on air.
Yeah, this this could have been here. I mean, this could have been a really helpful tool for you during the draft.
Yeah, I had my list and I was crossing off the names and circling the ones that I had. I think Tom's team is really nice because he has DJ, who I assume will start, but like he also has some wild cards that I could really hit with the young guys. I guess, like, I don't know. I'm very up and down on Jaden Daniels. He was not very good last year, ultimately, especially if you take out that Arizona game where they won 70-7. But I've seen him play well, so I can't hate on that pick. You know, Danny's. I wouldn't take Keaton Slovis in that spot because I feel like you already have enough proven guys. Like Carson Strong to me is pretty proven. Spencer Rattler, if you believe in him well, like that much to take him with the number two overall pick, you better think he's proven, right?
Agree.
Max Johnson, I actually get the pick. I think he's got some decent upside. He performed really well for LSU despite some pretty crazy turmoil going on in that program last year. Chip, I think you got like some serious upside with your team too. I'm not trying to be a hater here on anybody, like, or I guess if I think your picks suck, I would, but I mean we're talking about four picks here each. So yeah. You shouldn't make any really, really bad picks. Like, I think it makes sense to bet on, you know, on the upside of Mertz or Daniels, and you get somebody really proven in Sam Howell, and Caleb Williams is obviously our number one QB for last cycle. Now Bud team. That might be the goods right there.
I think Matt Corral might have been one of my favorite picks because I was thinking about Matt Corral as I was like, that's going to be a late round opportunity. And that's just somebody who, I mean, I don't want him to start every single game, but the opposing defensive coordinator is going to be really mad if Sam Howell, you know, like twists an ankle or something. And guess who's coming in? Matt Corral, hair on fire. All gas, no brakes. Like that would be somebody that I don't want him as my starter, but I would love for him to be the person that we're calling from the bullpen if we need it.
Yeah, see, I was hoping Matt Corral might be that guy that fell to me before he took him, but in the fourth round, because I might have taken him with my last pick just to be like my officer of swag to bring my QB room a little attitude. Let him, you know, get it just because I like that in my quarterback. So I wouldn't mind having that in my QB room.
He's got a little Brett Favre in him. Yeah. And now with how much QBs are coached and some would say overcoached, I mean, he does not give a damn.
He'll just, I know.
Like, look at that Arkansas game. That was incredible. Arkansas was like, we're going to drop 11. Iowa State, you guys drop 8. We're dropping 11. Watch this. And he's like, still chucking it.
But for you to have Corral and Willis, boy, that's a lot of like moving around.
It is.
You're going to have a, if you, we're going to have to spy Bud's team when we play him every year, because
my first team defense, if these guys are my scout team dudes, are going to be so well prepared.
They're going to be skinny. They're not going to be able to hold weight on.
That's a lot of cardio. The little like man sports bra they wear that shows the GPS and the exertion and whatnot. No free advertising. I don't know who actually, I know what it's called. I'm not going to call it out. Like their numbers are going to be off the charts with the guy with the laptop there on a practice field.
Without a doubt. Okay, so any other thoughts on these squads? Any other quarterbacks? I think they're pretty much everybody on my mention. Drew Plitt, nobody was going to draft him, but good for you, Ball State. We look forward to Drew Plitt against Penn State's defense when the biggest rivalry in
the House Divided
rivalry for the Penn State Ball State recently married couple. Shout outs to y'all. I'm feeling pretty good. We're at draft season off and running. We're excited about it. The other drafts that you can look forward to, remember with the Oklahoma drill draft, we already did for the all time. We're going to do it for 2021. That will be running back, linebackers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. We'll have a pass catcher draft. And then, oh boy, things get really intense for the coaching staff draft. All that coming up here in the next couple weeks on the Cover 3 podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at BudElliott3. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.